today is from the Gospel of John, and we will be reading it in parts. So it's from John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42, Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In Samaria, Jesus came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink of water."
His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use. So the woman answered,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan, so how can you ask me for a drink?"
"If only you knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you life-giving water."
"Sir, you haven't got a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water?" "It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his sons and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?"
"Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring, which will provide him with life-giving water and give him eternal life."
"Sir, give me that water, then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water."
"Go and call your husband and come back."
"I haven't got a husband."
"You are right when you say you haven't got a husband. You've been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth."
"I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God."
"Believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship, but we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming, and is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is."
"I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything."
"I am he, I who am talking with you."
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there,
"Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah?"
So they left the town and went to Jesus. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said,
"He has told me everything I ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message. And they said to the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him. And we know that he really is the Saviour of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know whether you can see this picture. I'm trying to hold it the right angle so the light isn't reflecting on it too much. It's a picture of a beautiful sunrise, in Uganda. You won't be surprised to hear. Lake Nabugabo, for those who've been there. And it's a very beautiful moment, but I don't know whether many of you can see, there is a bird in this picture. You see the bird? Can you point it out, Madeline? Yeah, tiny dot. Can you see? Yeah, there's a tiny dot, which when we first got the photo processed, Chris wondered whether it was a speck that had got onto the lens or onto the printing. He was quite disappointed until we realised that it is actually a bird. So this bird is soaring high in the sky, right up in the sunrise, with the sun glinting off its wings. What an amazing way to live. Wouldn't you like to spread your wings and soar like that? Well, you can't really fly unless you feel accepted. The woman in our story today, the woman at the well, she didn't feel accepted. She didn't come to the well with everybody else. The other women would have gone early in the morning when it was cooler, or late in the evening. They would have talked and laughed and chatted together and sung songs to try and take their minds off the weight of the water. But this woman was on her own. We know that. We know that she went at noon when nobody else would have dreamt of going to collect water. She was on her own because she didn't feel accepted. It was her lifestyle, we think, and maybe the bad choices that she'd made that had made the society turn against her. Maybe some of you feel like that, not really accepted. Maybe sometimes it comes from things that happen to us when we're younger, circumstances that we have to live through. Or maybe you're just one of those people who always feels a bit of a square peg in a round hole because you're different to others. It can happen at work or in our family, among friends. It can happen in churches, sadly, as well, that sometimes we don't feel that we fit in. What happens when you feel like that? When, like this woman at the well, you don't feel accepted? Well, people tend to put up barriers and attack before people attack you. You might be a bit prickly and a bit defensive. You might feel like the bird in a cage that we have here. Instead of that bird soaring in the sky, you might feel a bit like this. A bird that can't really fly, but is hiding in a cage. Like a plant that hasn't had enough water and isn't flourishing. As Joe said last week, you might feel trapped by fear instead of being transformed by faith. You might pretend that you don't care, but you do really care what other people think. So how does Jesus deal with this woman who comes to the well? For a start, he should have got up from the well and moved away to a discreet distance so that she could have come to collect her water without having to talk to him, because men and women shouldn't talk to each other in public in that society. But he doesn't. And in the conversation he has with her, he shows her that he knows her completely, that he knows everything about her. He knows the choices that she's made and the lifestyle that she's been leading. So there's no point in her putting up barriers and keeping him at a distance like she does with other people, because he already knows her completely. There's no point in masks and in hiding and pretending to be better than she really is. He knows her completely. But amazingly, despite knowing her completely, Jesus accepts her lovingly. He shows her that he cares about her and that no matter what she's done, he loves her. Now, we don't see that in the most obvious ways, in the way that the woman and Jesus talk to each other. But the fact that they have a debate, even though they seem to disagree on everything, when you look at the story again, I'd recommend that you read it again when you get home, John chapter 4. They have this strange debate, and things don't seem to go well, but he's having a debate with her. Now, as we said before, he shouldn't be talking with her because she's a woman and he's a man, and in that culture, men and women didn't discuss things in public or talk to each other. He's also Jewish and she's a Samaritan, so they come from different cultures, and the Jewish people taught that you shouldn't talk to people from other cultures and spend time with them. So the whole thing is turned on its head. Also, he's a respected teacher of the law and of the faith, and he shouldn't be debating with a woman about what people believe. But here they are, they have this conversation. So he's showing her that he accepts her by having that conversation with her. He knows her completely, he accepts her lovingly, and then he grows confidence in her. He tells her that he's the Messiah, the one who's come to save God's people. And he didn't tell many people that, certainly not at this part of his ministry. He tended, if people worked it out for themselves, he tended to keep it quiet and tell them not to tell anyone. But he gives her this amazing truth. And that story is now recorded for us to read all these many years later. So he shows that he has confidence in her, and that grows confidence in her. So he knows her completely, he accepts her lovingly, and he grows confidence in her. Does it work? How do we know? It's a very odd conversation they have. They don't seem to understand each other. Jesus talks in riddles. So frustrating. But we got the evidence of what happens next that we heard in our reading. So we know it must have worked for her, because she rushes home to the very people who are most likely to reject her, the very people that she's been trying to avoid and who don't enjoy talking to her. And she tells them, look, come and see the Messiah. Come and meet him. And they do. They rush back. They meet with him. They ask him to stay with them. They talk with him. And it says many people believe because of that woman. And the final piece of evidence is that she even leaves her water jar behind because she's so excited about rushing home to tell everybody else. So she has grown in confidence in Jesus and through Jesus. She's no longer trapped by fear, but transformed by faith. So what about you? Could it work for you? First of all, we know that Jesus knows you completely. If you're in any doubt about that, read Psalm 139, where he says, you've searched me, God, and you know me, when I sit and when I rise. It says he even knew us before we were born. So he knows us completely. There's no point in hiding, no need for barriers and masks. We know that he accepts you lovingly. Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So despite the fact that he knows us completely, he still loves us. There's a line in a song that we sometimes sing. It says, you know the depths of my heart, and you love me the same. So he knows us completely, but he accepts us lovingly. And he can grow confidence in you as well. He wants you to be the person he's created you to be. He wants you to soar like that bird, not to be stuck in your cage, frightened to go out. He wants you to take risks in faith. He wants you to step out. He wants you to flourish like a plant that's got lots of light and water and good soil. He wants you to soar and spread your wings. But how? How can we do that? For Bert and for Flappy Bird, it was a question of trusting in friends and praying, turning to Jesus and asking for help. It seems so obvious that we need to ask Jesus if we want that confidence. But I don't think we often actually ask Jesus for things. We feel perhaps we shouldn't. Perhaps it's selfish to ask things for ourselves. Or we think that how we are now, that's good enough. That'll be okay. That's obviously just what God wants for us. But you can ask God to transform you and give you that soaring confidence in him. You could ask today after the service, come to the side here and someone will pray with you. Or maybe afterwards, tonight, in the quiet of your home, ask for that confidence in God. And Jesus will show up, and he will deliver. Maybe you need to feel more confident in your faith, and you don't really know what you believe, or what God is like, and how it all works. Maybe you could do our course in the autumn, in a few weeks' time, that will help you to learn more about your faith. Or maybe you need to get together and meet with other Christians regularly. Either a home group or a prayer triplet, we call them, a group of three, a triad. These kind of things help us to build up our confidence in God. Or maybe you used to soar like that bird, but now, at the moment, you feel like this. Well, be honest with God about how you're feeling. Talk to him about it. Look at the Psalms and see how people pour out their hearts to God. Find one that suits how you're feeling now and talk about it with him. Find someone that you could pray with regularly and ask that God will help you to soar again, because he does want you to. It might not be in the same direction as you were flying before. It might not be in the same way that you were flying before, but he does want us all to be able to soar. So wish you were like this bird, just soaring through the sky in the sunrise. I think sometimes we don't really ask God for those blessings that he longs to give us. He's got a great storehouse of them, and so often we don't think to ask because we think that now is good enough. But God wants us to know the depths of his love, the riches of his grace, the wonder of his power, not just little tiny crumbs that keep us existing. He wants us to be full of life, spreading our wings for him. So we need to ask, and it will be given to us, and keep asking until we see a chance to soar. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for knowing us, accepting us lovingly. Thank you for growing confidence in us, and we pray that you would continue to do that. Lord, help us to spread our wings in you. Amen.